and welcome to Lore Dump, our special edition podcast about broader topics and other atypical subject matter. As always, I'm Beth.
And I'm Tom.
And today we are going to continue talking about JoJo Part 5.
Yeah.
Golden Wind. Because we love it.
We're going to cut away to the last bit of recording we did beforehand, and then we're going to come back to talk about the new stuff that we decided to talk about after listening to our previously recorded bits and realizing there's a lot of stuff we didn't touch on.
Yeah, there was a lot to say.
This is going to be a long one, guys.
Yep. So
please bear with us.
Strap in. Anyway.
Yeah. So is there anything else about the Italian guy in Sekko fight?
Just that we got to see Bucciarati completely kick ass here.
And get his ass kicked.
His dead ass.
Irreparably.
He's blinded. He's deaf. He is just... He has, like, lost all of his senses at this point, and it is heartbreaking to watch him stumble around. This character who is just so... always on. Mm-hmm. He is always on point constantly. Like, we never really see Bucciarati fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But now he is just helpless.
Mm.
And that hurts so bad.
Having him after this fight be like relying on Doppio.
Yeah, thinking it's like, Trish.
I have the perfect opportunity. This guy who's the biggest thorn in my side is right here.
Yeah.
And I can just like fucking kill him.
Yeah.
But then, oh, of course, his friends have to show up. Yeah. Right then. It's like,
Oh, God. And when he thinks Doppio is Trish and he offers his house to her.
That's fucked up, man.
It was so fucked up. And it's just, it shows exactly what kind of person he is. You know, it's like, well, you know, he's not going to use it after this. But this girl who has done absolutely nothing wrong to deserve anything that has happened to her. She deserves a chance.
Yeah, man, that sucks so much.
He wanted to give that to her so bad.
Speaking of, sorry, the fact that he thought she was Trish because it was like their auras or some shit.
Whatever.
The more apt thing to do with kidnapping Trish would be look at her hair color and figure out which dad. Like, how many people with pink hair, naturally pink hair, are running around? You know?
No.
Just like, oh, the stand and all that stuff. Like, no, just fucking look at the hair.
They see the same hairstylist.
Anyway. So they get to your boy, Polnareff.
Polnareff! I'm so glad that he showed up. I love him.
He shows up to add more rules to stands, which is...
Yeah, okay, we're just going to completely ignore, like, the... origin story, the midichlorians here.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid.
We're just gonna...
Did you know it's from a meteor? That's a virus.
Cool.
Also. Like, okay.
Great.
Sure, man. Whatever you say.
Oh, and that's why some people die when they get stabbed. I think people die just because they got stabbed.
Yeah, honestly. Could it be the fact that the dude shooting stand arrows last season was routinely putting them through people's necks? Like, if you get scratched by the stand arrow and you don't have a stand, I don't think it's going to kill you. You're just going to have a scratch. Does it only give you a stand if it's a fatal wound? Like,
I don't know. It's just like, I don't know. You could prick your finger. You could just prick your fucking finger. Like, ow. Did you get a stand? No. All right, next.
Yeah, like, anyway, it's never not funny to me that of all the people to bring back.
Yeah.
To explain the new rules and like, oh, I'm the reliable one now. It's fucking Polnareff, the least reliable member of
Part 3. No, I disagree entirely, actually.
But like,
he definitely turned it around at the end of Part 3.
But I mean the fact that like half the shit that they got into is because of him doing something. It's just funny to me having like the sort of class clown be valedictorian here.
Well, you know, I mean, we already had Jotaro take up that role in Part 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, of course, you know, our Joseph was that role in Part 3. So it makes sense to have Polnareff kind of take up that that role in Part 5.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see him
again.
It's just funny to me that he's like, he's the guy who knows things now. It's like not something you would ever see. Like, you know, he's the guy who chain smokes and then eats them by accident. Like, you know, like, he's the guy who gets attacked in the bathroom.
Oh my god. The fucking pig in the bathroom. I'll never forget that.
Oh, God. But then he's a turtle, so it's fine.
His fate hurt, too.
Are you kidding? It's fucking hilarious.
No, it's awful when you really think about it, okay? He is dead. He's very similar to Bucciarati in this fact. He knows he's dead. He knows he can't live in that turtle forever. He mentioned himself that he is just kind of clinging onto it.
I just think it's really funny.
That he's a turtle.
That he's a turtle. After all this time, the turtle gets to talk. And it's just God. It's just a French guy and a turtle in Italy. It's just so good. And, you know, like,
God.
They show up, they do the, oh no, chariot requiem, swap souls. How come?
Who cares? Well, okay, his requiem doesn't just, like, give you an extra power. I guess it, whatever your heart's desire truly is what it gives you. And at that point in time, Polnareff's, like, biggest want was to protect the arrow at all costs.
Yeah, it's just funny that manifested in body swap. I feel like it's just an excuse to do some body swap shenanigans, which
is great for character development.
Always appreciate that shit. It's fucking funny. Watching Mista slowly realize that he's in Trish's body over the course of, like,
he's like, wait,
5 whole minutes was fantastic. And, like, seeing which
Trish's
characters
reaction, like, great.
Seeing which characters, like, immediately know which, and the voice acting.
Oh my God, fantastic!
At least in the English version.
Holy shit, spot on!
That they could, like, start channeling other people's performances.
I could absolutely tell, like, you know, Narancia was in Giorno's body immediately.
Immediately.
Absolutely.
The word choice and just the way he's like, wah! Like,
you know, when, like, Giorno shows up, he's just very collected. And we're not used to seeing that from Narancia at all.
Very, very good.
Fucking Mista and Trish's body, her voice, like, lowered.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good.
I like the implication.
Started throwing out, dude.
I like the implication that, I guess having multiple personalities means you have multiple souls, because there's no other way for that to work.
Yeah.
So, who ended up in Doppio's body? I forget.
What? Oh, Bucciarati was in Diavolo's body.
Diavolo, that's right. And yeah. Doppio
was
in
Bucciarati's
body.
Yep.
Whoops.
Yep.
And Polnareff was in a turtle. And the turtle probably ended up in a baby somewhere.
Oh,
sorry, baby.
Shit.
Okay, actually seeing the mayhem caused by Chariot swapping souls everywhere,
mm-hmm,
was kind of, like, really upsetting. Watching,
it
like,
really was
parents and babies and, like,
oh God, that was awful.
Dogs and owners being like,
oh God, I hate
really
that.
Upsetting. Like,
yeah.
Oh God, please put it back, put it back.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather everyone die than this. This is too weird.
Yeah, that was
this
terrible.
This is like some fucking deep-seated horror shit for me.
God, I hated that. But yeah, no, you're right.
But yeah, they get Requiem, and the power is never really, like, fucking explained, and it doesn't need to be, because it's fine. This is the least important part of it.
Yeah.
And the most boring villain gets the most boring death.
Well, he gets many deaths.
He just, like,
he dies again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and that's kind of fantastic, actually.
Yeah.
But it says a lot about, like, Giorno as a person, that, like,
oh, he's petty.
He's petty as fuck. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh my God, speaking of petty, I didn't even talk about the flowers that Giorno turned everyone's body into. I just want to point out real quick that when Giorno deals with Abacchio's body, you know what he fucking turns him into?
Was it sunflowers?
Dandelions.
Oh.
He turns them into a fucking weed.
I think dandelions are pretty.
It's a fucking weed. And Giorno is just like, oh, really? Bitch, you're dead, so here.
I feel like Giorno was never, he was never that rude to Abacchio.
No, but I think it's, I just think it's funny as shit.
It's really funny. I mean, he was never that polite to Abacchio either.
No.
He was just like, I'm gonna speak my mind. Bakio's like, that's not allowed here. Wait your turn. He's
like, Bakio's like, shut the fuck up.
I'm already over here doing things with my new dad, Bruno. Sorry, new mom, Bruno. And Bakio's like, what the fuck? Where are we going to talk about this? What happened to the part where we talk about our plans? We just do whatever this kid says? Yes, apparently. You just do. It's fine.
Bruno's just like, shut up, honey. Yeah.
So let's see. Oh, they kill the guy. Polnareff's in a turtle. Meast is like, let's go back and see Bruno.
Oh, God.
And they never do. And that's kind of like, oof, that's a hell of a hanging action to leave.
Did we ever talk about Naranja's death?
We did.
We did?
Yeah, we did. How it's like really sudden and uncomfortable and awful. And it's like, shit.
Yeah.
And that made us realize we forgot to talk about Avakio's death. Oh, so we went back.
I don't think we ever talked about the fact that like Giorno was crying.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's established that doesn't fucking happen.
It's messed up, man.
It was so fucked up.
God,
that death hurt. But yeah, them going back and being like, oh, let's go get Bujarati, gang. Yeah. And Giorno's just like, yeah.
Cut to a few days later when he's the new Don. Like,
yep.
Oh, okay. We're not even going to watch that because it would just be like 10 minutes of Mista crying.
Yeah. It'd
be really hard to watch. I'm actually kind of glad they didn't. But
God, that would hurt so bad. I feel like he'd be pissed.
Yeah, well, I mean, Giorno knew and didn't say anything.
I'd be pissed.
But how do you say something? By the way, our boss is a zombie and it's my fault. Kind of.
We don't know if it was really him or if, you know, Bucciarati is just that cool that he was just kind of like, no, fuck y'all, I'm finishing this shit.
No, it was definitely Giorno. But his stubbornness probably helped him hang on longer than he should have, really. Yeah, that's it. I don't know. It's the ending was it's all right. I feel like it peaked in the middle. These things kind of tend to, I feel.
Yeah, they do.
But that's fine.
It's okay fine. You know, the character tensions were there to the very end. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly what I like about this season. The characters were very strong.
Yeah.
They were deep. Like, in every scene, like, you really got a handle on who they were and what was important to them.
Yeah. And that's that much more than the mechanics of how their powers work. That is the important stuff in a story.
Absolutely.
Which is why it's such a bummer that the main villain was such a nothing.
He was weak.
He's just like,
he's a weak villain.
What does he want? He wants to be the boss. Why? He's crazy. Like, oh, okay, cool.
Great.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Cool.
I feel like, I don't know, I guess this is as good a time as any. There's just a couple things I've already brought up, most of it.
Like, yeah.
That I just wish they had more of. It's like, yeah, I wish that they had more of the downtime and just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that they had spent more time, you know, dealing with what happened after Fugo left. What is he up to?
Other than
watching Narancha's soul leave his body.
Oof.
You know, down some back alley somewhere. Like, what are you doing back there, man?
Playing piano in a bar, apparently.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Love it. You know, spend less time on fights, like, you know, babyface. But the biggest thing I really wish that they had done more was the Dio connection.
Yeah.
And I think the reason I feel that way is because they start out the season with Koichi, go to Italy and find this teenager because he has a connection to Dio and I'm worried about it. And they find him and it's like, oh shit, it's worse than I thought. He's got a stand. He suddenly turned blonde. Like, there's all this stuff. Like, oh my God. And then Koichi's like, well, this kid seems all right, so it's fine. Let's, you know, and then nothing ever comes of it. Like, Jotaro doesn't show up.
He's just going to join a gang because we didn't intervene.
Yeah.
Like, going to turn to organized crime.
I'm a Japanese teenager, and this seems okay to me.
The next thing they fucking know, they're like, oh, shit, he's in a gang. Oh, no, he's running a gang. Oh,
what, the gang? He's running the, oh.
He is the gang. Got it. Polnareff is there too. Great. He's doing such a good job.
I want to see Jotaro reunite with Polnareff the Turtle.
Oh my God, me too.
That would be fucking hilarious.
It would be so fucking.
So what are you up to these days? Well, I'm a turtle. I hang out with the 15-year-old Don of the Mafia.
16 by that point, probably.
Sure.
Because he's like a week away from his birthday.
That's...
Oh, shit, that's going to be such a bummer birthday.
Very depressing.
Shit! I made
all these new friends. They're all dead.
Oh, God. What did you do on your 16th birthday, Giorno? Well, I went to a funeral.
Yeah. At least he's got a boyfriend. But no, okay, so, like, I really thought when Bruno came back that, you know, because he's always got the life-giving powers, he tried to give life, and that initially, that didn't work, right?
Yeah.
It was like, there was a scene of, like, shit, it didn't work, and then it cut back to, like, no, Bruno's up and running around. He's like, oh, shit, it did work. I really thought they were going to bring in the fact that, like, he has similar powers to Dio. Like, regardless,
oh my God, the vampire powers,
where he can bring zombies,
raise
to
the
life.
Corpses, yeah.
Like, it, and maybe
that is the implication.
Maybe that was the intention, but they never really came out and said it.
Yeah,
and I just think that would be so much more interesting to have Giorno have to grapple with. Wait, hold on. You mean I have another set of magic powers that I didn't know about? That, like, you know, it's the opposite of what I normally do. This is life giving. And the other things like necromancy, like that's uncomfortable. What do
yeah.
I feel? Having to grapple with that would be really interesting. I mean, like, as if he doesn't have enough to deal with the fact that Bruno's dying in slow motion. But, you know, it just...
Oh, God, that you put him through that.
The fact that you're gonna bring Dio's kid into it. Mm-hmm. And I know you don't want to alienate the new fans too much by making it all wrapped up in what came before. But, man, throw me
why
a bone.
Why even bring him up then at that point?
Like, why have Polnareff come back?
Yeah.
You know, like, you could have Polnareff come back to explain to the new fans about Dio. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I almost trust this kid, except hang on, he's giving me Dio vibes.
Yeah.
Like, because he doesn't trust Giorno at first.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with him being Dio's kid. It's because he doesn't know him.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's the new kid. If it was more like, because there was at one point, like, Bruno has to get the arrow. No one can get the arrow.
Yeah.
Ever. And if it had been like, I don't know, no one can get the arrow, especially not Diabolo, and especially not Giorno, because
yeah.
that kid is the spawn of Satan. Like, that kid's dad killed all my friends.
Yep.
Directly or indirectly.
Oh my God. Know, like, how do you think that, like, shook out when
he's the Polnareff advisor?
At one point, he would have to be like, hey, what's that star on your back there, kid?
Yeah.
Who's that that guy in your picture?
Yeah, like, oh, that's weird. Why do you have a picture of my arch enemy in your wallet? Like,
oh, you know my dad?
Yeah. Can you tell me about him? I don't know anything about the guy. Like, oh, God, awkward conversation with your best friend, Pet Turtle.
Oh, man. Your Pet Turtle.
I'm sorry. It's never going to not be funny to me that he's a fucking...
I think it's tragic, but also funny.
We know that animals have stands.
I'm sorry.
We know that animals have stands. There was a few in part 3. There was 2 rats in part 4. That's fine. How is... There's
there was
a room,
also stray cat.
How is there's a room inside me, but only when there's a key on my back, a stand? What the fuck is that? What is that?
Also, who was going around stabbing turtles with stand arrows?
Well, you know, I mean... Maybe he wasn't stabbed with a stand arrow. He just has a stand.
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows about Pet Shop, but...
I wouldn't put it past Dio. This is a great eagle, but you know what would make him better?
A little stabby stabby. I think
it was a hawk, but whatever.
Like, it's just funny to me that, like... Because in the mechanics of the story, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because what happens is they get a key, they go to this is the key to the vehicle. They go to a location, oh shit, it's a turtle, put it in there, and misdirection, the turtle was the vehicle, who knew? Like, that's kind of, it's cool, it's clever, and
it's kind of funny.
It's a little obvious when you see it, like, there's this turtle here. Oh, well, that can't be the turtle. It's like, come on. But, like, it's just funny to me that, like, okay, so hang on. So we found this turtle with a stand, or gave him a stand. Who figured out how this works? Did stabbing him with the arrow just make the key appear on his back? Or was the key already fused to him? And he just... It doesn't matter. And
doesn't
I know
matter.
That. This is not a criticism of the show. I just think this sort of stuff is endlessly funny to think about.
Just imagine, like, Diavolo just sitting there with this turtle trying to figure it out.
Yeah, shit, that was Diavolo's turtle.
Yeah. He just had a pet turtle.
And that became his undoing. Turtle, how could you betray me so?
I wonder if the turtle... Oh, well, the turtle does have a name.
Does it?
Coco Jumbo.
I'm sorry, what?
Coco Jumbo.
Coco Jumbo.
Yeah.
Is that another musical reference?
Yes, it is.
To what?
To a band. Also, or I think it's a song. I don't know.
That's a terrible name
for somebody sent it to me, and I was like, I'm not really into it, but okay, cool. And the stand name is the stand name is Mr. President.
Are you fucking kidding
me? I'm not.
Okay. Wait, okay, look, this is getting even more wildly off topic, but he played Eyes Over Heaven. Eyes of Heaven?
Eyes of Heaven.
Eyes of Heaven. The JoJo fucking game for the PlayStation.
Fighting game.
Fighting adventure game, whatever it was.
It was fun.
And it was fine. And it did have a lot of these fun. It was like the JoJo victory lap. It was yes. JoJo. What if these characters met? What would that look like?
That was fun. And it was fun as shit.
God, I wish like that happening made me wish there was 10 times more of it. I wanted the whole game to be 10 times longer because of shit mm-hmm. like that. But them having the turtle be your base of characters
fucking
and just
hell.
Hand-waving like, oh, look, there's other rooms in here we didn't know about.
Yeah.
It's the funniest shit to me.
Yeah.
Not only because that's just a hilarious, like, explanation, but also, like, the idea that they spent, like, 4 or 5 days inside this room in the turtle and never looked around to see if there was, like, a door to another room.
God, that's so funny.
Oh.
They just never noticed.
Fuck.
I loved all the interactions in that game, off topic, between Polnareff and all the Part 5 characters, because they're like, oh shit, it's the turtle guy. And he's yeah. like, what are you actually talking about? I'm so confused.
He's like more upset every time he meets one of them. Like, no, one of you has to tell me what you're talking
and they're about. They're like, never mind, no, it's good.
Just like never mentioned that, like, he is in the turtle that is going to be himself in
yeah.
a couple years. Oh god. That's fucking funny.
That's really
That's
good.
Too fucking funny.
Oof.
I feel like we're running out of steam.
We are.
Sorry.
We are.
I just get I get really weirdly fixated on this turtle. It's the funniest part of JoJo to me. It really is.
You really love that fucking turtle.
It's so funny. Like, why?
Did we ever talk about how weird Narancia Stand is?
How it's a fucking bomb.
It's
fucking
like a
plane.
Toy plane.
It's a toy plane that can detect carbon dioxide, which. Okay.
Everyone else has these, like, stands that, like, represent different aspects of their personality, and Narancia's like, I have a toy plane!
I like toys!
I mean, oh god, I'm struggling to think of, like, something poetic that it could represent, and I'm just kind of like, no, he's just a fucking kid.
I'm fairly certain the design process for most stands is, here's a stand. Let me work backwards to make this fit their character.
Yeah.
And in that case, they just gave up because whatever. It's a plane.
Bucciarati's is kind of a weird one, but his is based off the cover album art of the Sticky
yeah,
Fingers
at least it has a thing.
Album.
It's,
it makes sense.
It's funny. Oh, we didn't talk about how creepy Goal Experience Requiem is.
It's so fucking creepy.
Like, put those eyeballs back in your head, dude. It's really yeah. uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I liked it better when it was like a bug lady with sunglasses.
It's just like weirdly, it's robotic and spooky, and it talks in Giorno's voice, but like a weird robotic.
It just
voice.
Looks like they took Gold Experience and peeled off half its skin.
That's kind of literally what happened.
It's horrifying.
It's like its shell was on the ground.
Ugh, like. At least turn into a bigger bug then.
Yeah. I did not like Gold Experience Requiem
no.
very much. God, I wish we could somehow know what like the other ones would have looked like in like a Requiem form.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck would six bullets look or sex pistols look like.
I don't fucking know, but it would have been sweet.
Just like they all have sunglasses, nothing else changes. I don't know. It just, it's so arbitrary. Fucking.
They wanted Bucciarati to have the arrow, right?
Yeah. So.
Sticky Fingers would have been cool.
I mean, but it's not even necessarily like a straightforward upgrade because Silver Chariot looked like a weird robot fencer.
Yeah.
And it ended up being, like, full on, like, you know, I don't know what, like a musketeer.
Yeah.
Which, okay, is a fencer. I'll give him that. But it's like the aesthetic was completely different.
It was very.
It's also made of like Terminator metal.
It was bizarre. It was quite bizarre.
It's just fucking.
It's neat.
I can't imagine what the fuck Emperor, sorry, King Crimson Requiem would be because he's already so overpowered. Like, you don't need more. Stop it.
I love that the arrow was just not having it with him.
Oh my god, you know what? We never fucking talked about the openings and endings.
Oh shit, let's do that real quick.
And then we have to end this because this
is... Yeah, we do. It's long.
How long have we been going?
Too fucking long. Way too long.
2.5 hours. This is a two-parter. I don't care. This has to be a two-parter.
Okay, great.
Holy shit. Okay. I'm not editing all this in one day.
No, of course not.
Okay.
Oh god. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Fighting Gold.
Okay.
So I like the songs for both of these for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. This one I think really it sets up the mood very well. The like opening shot with like Italy and the fucking ocean is gorgeous. Everything is gorgeous mm-hmm. on all these openings. You just help me out here. I'm sorry. I'm dying.
Look,
I'm dying, Squirtle.
I don't actually have that much to say about the openings because I think they're good. I think they look cool. Again, there's people that did whole video breakdowns of all the symbolism. I really like a lot of the symbolism in the first one. That's the one with the chains, right?
Yes, God. Yes. Okay, so the chains are really cool as a symbol. You know, the whole thing is, you know, the chains of fate. We didn't even talk about the Rolling Stones at the end of it.
Oh, God. Do we have to?
We don't really have to, but
we'll touch on it after this.
Yeah. holy shit, this is long.
Oh, my God, it's 1 a.m. So the chains of fate.
Yeah, it's the chains of fate have them, you know, they bind them all, blah, blah, blah. But they break at the end when they, like, when Giorno shows up, basically. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 sleeping slaves, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I could go on about that.
You can tell, like, the characters that die have slightly different.
Yes.
Like, they're more, like, boxed in by the chains, I feel like.
Yes, okay, there's...
I don't remember what it is, but I remember noticing.
Yes. Baccio, you know, he has the hourglass. The chains are falling through the hourglass, symbolizing his time is running out.
Also
his, you know, obsessed with time, obsessed with the past.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fucking remember Naranja's.
I don't remember any of the others except the hourglass.
Bruno, cool. However, every time it flashes in front of Bruno, his silhouette becomes less distinct, but he's still walking.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It flashes to Fugo where you see like, you know, it's like two faces, you know, the two sides of Fugo.
Yeah. That's straightforward. It's fine.
It's really good. The art was fantastic as always.
It's just, like I said, I don't really have much to say, but it's really both openings really good.
Yes.
Is there anything else about Fighting Gold specifically?
Oh, I did remember something about Naranja. In the background of his little scene in there, Bucciarati's little weird little teardrop print things are all in the background.
Oh, that's cute.
Because his hero is Bucciarati.
That's really nice.
Which is very sweet.
I feel like, was the turtle ever prominently in any of these openings?
No.
That's a shame. Missed opportunity.
You are fixated on the fucking turtle.
I'm really tired.
It's really funny. But I really like the song Fighting Gold. I know a lot of people say it's like their least favorite, but I disagree.
I don't know how
it I think it fits, you know, that feeling of like the tension of it.
Yeah. I like it. It's fine. I don't love it. I think it's catchy. I would never skip it if it came on, but
yeah.
I think full disclosure, we didn't get the full openings every time because we were watching the Adult Swim version where they truncate it for time.
I rewatched.
So, but I got the Adult Swim version, so I didn't get the full song. So I feel like I never got a chance to fully appreciate them the way I did with the other openings. But my favorite is still Bloody Stream.
Great Days for me, but...
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. They're all fine. There's no bad openings.
No, there isn't.
Chase is just at the bottom. It's the least good.
Yeah, but it's still good.
Finding Gold is definitely better than Chase. I don't know what people are fucking
doing. I know, right?
What's the other one? Gang
Traitors? Traitors Requiem.
Which, okay, is laying out a little thick, but sure.
It fits. Yeah. It fits. It really fits the mood, though. Because that is like the halfway point when things are looking dire. Mm-hmm. You know, they just betrayed the boss. They just stepped on the boat. Everything is like, it's looking grim.
I really like.
And that's when things fall apart.
They have in this opening the scene of all the feet going onto the boat, but Fugo
stays behind.
I don't remember most of the opening, but that one, that shot stays with me.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah. And like, because you see as everyone's moving, he lifts up his feet and then.
And steps back down.
And like, yep. Oh, that's
so close. Oh, God, it really hurts. One of the first things that you see is Bruno's face, and like it unzips and it turns red.
Oh, no.
Which is like, he's dead. He's dead. He's actually dead. And this sucks.
Yeah, because from that point forward, he is dead.
He's dead. He's dead by the halfway point.
That sucks.
Yes. I don't remember a lot of this.
It's been a while.
It's been a hot minute.
Like I said, people have discussed these to death on the internet. You can look those up. That's fine. We're not here to do that. We just want to tell you they're good.
They're good. Symbolically, it's very, very good.
I think this is the weakest, like, of the ending or the openings that, like, change while they're fighting the big bad.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, it is clever that... They had that device in there where, like, oh, the blood is dripping, and that's how you know time is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's cool that they did that in the opening, and then they could show you what's really happening. I feel like it really worked the first time, because when it was in part three,
you didn't expect it.
You didn't know that was happening. It was just like, oh, that's kind of weird that he just punches a wall and that's it. And then when they pull that on you, it's like, oh, shit, there's a whole, like, 10 seconds.
No, there's, like, a sequence here.
And then in part four, when it's, like, literally reversed for part of
it. That was cool.
That fits with it. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. It paints these actions in a new light. Part five was literally like...
Opera music, it was
a full 30 seconds longer. It's like a whole scene from their fight.
Yep.
It just doesn't...
Diavolo is just standing there looking sassy.
It just...
Hand on his hip.
It just felt like... excessive.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed with it. I was kind of bored.
And, you know, again, his power of all the time fucky powers, it's the least well articulated
what
it actually does. So it's like, cool.
Great.
What's happening here, I guess? And then, oh, and then the Giorno gets the power, and it's a more even more different opening. And it's like, I don't
Never.
Care. Just give me, this was a better song before you fucked with it in the middle. That's the other thing. I don't like what it does to the music.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's great in part three, and you like it in part four. I was kind of on it. But
I liked it. I think it was cool. It
does in part five, where it's just like, there's like voices, and then there's the opera, and it's just
The Italian, whatever they're saying.
It's just like, oh, okay, cool. Let's talk about those endings.
Oh, fuck.
Beth, every time I close my eyes. I'm just saying.
Oh my god, having the song freaking you, like, holy shit.
That's not even a good euphemism for sex.
It's not at all, and it's just so on the nose. Like, this was already, like, a show you really couldn't watch with your parents in the room. But when that opening, or that ending comes on, you're just like, this is awkward.
Uncomfortable. Like, I really thought that I had to check to make sure, like, did Adult Swim, like, localize this? Was this something else? Did they change? This doesn't feel right. Because it's like, I already have issues with the lower energy openings.
Yeah.
Lower energy endings, like Last Train Home, which I like now. Hey, look at that.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not as good as, you know, Walk Like an Egyptian or...
No.
I Want You. Like, those really stand out. Just having this kind of, like, chill vibe, horny song. I'm just,
it was
like,
so horny, but, oh, God. That
so is this
fits.
Season.
It fits the vibe.
It
boy.
This is so, like... Because when the season starts, it is suddenly way hornier than anything
Holy
else.
Shit.
So it just
yep.
It just fits.
These horny boys.
It's just so funny. But the other thing, the thing that really gets me about how shitty this ending is, not just the fact that I think they probably could have found a better song.
Oh my God.
Equally
yeah.
as horny Let's... from the same era. The song isn't even that good, even though it gets stuck in my head.
Whatever.
it's the fact that the ending itself, like the animation, is just the characters and their stands scrolling by.
Like on a disco ball.
Like it's so
cool.
Boring. Like they just really like, ah shit, we blew the budget for the first half, guys. The ending's gonna have to, you know, like
feel that.
It's just.
And then there was the second ending.
Which was called, sorry, Modern Crusaders
by Enigma.
Really? This says Louis Armstrong.
What?
Louis Armstrong? Wait, what the fuck?
No, that's not right.
That can't be right.
No.
They fucked something up on this Wikipedia article.
Let me take a look.
Artist Louis Armstrong.
That is absolutely.
And I scroll down and it says... Yeah, it's a song by, yeah, Enigma.
Enigma. What the fuck? Louis Armstrong.
It's like a remix of weird late 90s, like...
It's Enigma.
A rock remix of that Fortuna song.
Yeah.
Which I thought for a minute was called Requiem for a Dream, because
nope.
I thought they were going to be that on the nose, but no, that's a different...
I wouldn't put them past them.
That's a different... Latin song.
Yep.
Is there Latin in that, or is that just dramatic? Anyway, whatever. It is not good.
No.
It's fine. I thought it was Phil Collins.
I'm gonna fucking cry.
I'm sorry, the voice sounds like Phil Collins
you are
to me.
So fucking dumb.
Does it not sound like Phil Collins?
No, not
it
even
totally,
close.
It sounds just like Phil
Oh
Collins.
My God, I'm horrified.
I've seen Tarzan, okay?
Oh my God.
I know what Phil Collins sounds
Stop.
Like.
It's not even like the same music genre.
I'm saying the voice, the singer.
I suppose, but God. Anyway.
Look, it's not a good song. It's
not great.
It's not terrible.
It's Enigma.
It's fine.
I don't know if you've heard anything else from that band, but it's not great.
It
that's
also,
just my personal opinion. Y'all can fight with me on Twitter about it. I don't give a shit.
That's fine. It would increase our engagement.
Ah, shit. God.
Look,
this is better than this.
This ending also just has a slow scroll upwards this time, but
it
at
is,
least it's got something to look at.
It is neat. It is the stands that, you know, have been defeated in the order of which they have been defeated.
Mm-hmm. And like all the hero stands at the top, and it
yep.
changes to reflect like changes like...
Yep.
When they get Trisha's stand and when Gold Experience Requiem and all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
It, like, that's, you know, it's...
When King Crimson shows up,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a little dull still to just have it be one slow pan the whole time instead of...
Yeah.
Like an actual
I do
ending.
Like that it is, like, statues, you know? Like, it's very artistic, very...
Renaissance. Very Italian.
Yes.
This season's very Italian.
It takes place in Italy, dear.
I know, but it's just... I'm
it
saying,
takes
like,
place all over they, Italy.
They go ham on the Italy shit.
Oh
they,
my God, in the dub. In the dub, all the, like, Italian that they just throw in
oh
there.
My
I
God.
Die.
Just,
I die for that shit. I think it is so fun.
Like, all the, like, oh, yeah.
Determinazione.
For no reason. That's not even a different... It's the same word with an accent.
It is.
That's not even...
It is.
Like, when they're like, bastardo, I'm like, you just added an O. Was that necessary?
Good Lord. And like, I die for it.
Well,
I think it's so
fun. When they say stuff like stronzo, like, oh, okay, I actually have to
yeah.
look that up. Like,
yeah.
that feels more natural to throw in there. But when they just randomly Italianize a single word that sounds almost the same, it's like, what is the point? Fuck. I love JoJo.
I do too.
I love this season. It's definitely the best. I really wish
we can decide until Steel Ball Run gets animated, then everyone's going to say that one's the best.
Probably. I mean, it makes sense that they get better because Rocky's growing as a writer.
Oh yeah.
You know, kudos to the animators for fucking switching up the style of everything every season.
Holy shit. That's yeah. Wild.
That's gotta be annoying, right? Like when recurring characters like, oh yeah, here's this guy from the last time, but no, we gotta learn to draw him different.
Yeah, okay. I kind of almost want to see, like, these characters in season 3 style.
No, that would be everyone. Just, if they were all, like, beefy refrigerator men. Like, no. I don't want to see Bucciarati the refrigerator. It's not okay. Everyone's a twink forever. Stop it.
Oh, God. They're not. Oh, boy. They're. Bucciarati's hot. I'm sorry. That scene when he, like took his jacket down and like you saw like his whole chest and I was just kind of like, damn.
Oh my god. Do we have any final thoughts on this one?
Bucciarati's hot.
Best boy. We've been rambling for 3 fucking hours.
Yeah, we have.
I cannot believe we let it get this out of hand, but I
you surprised?
We had a lot to say about these characters. Did. Way more to say about anything else.
They're great characters.
It's good stuff.
God, they're so good.
So, for this newer segment, to keep it running smoothly, we actually wrote down everything we wanted to talk about this time.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is how we normally do this show, and it seems to be why maybe the lore dump episodes keep getting off track. But, here we are. Subject number 1. I cannot believe we never touched on this the whole 3 hours we were recording. Giorno's fucking hair. Okay, wow. Are you... Can you, like, just a little bit, down, like...
This fucking cannoli-haired sunshine boy,
do have people trying to sleep in this house.
Sorry.
Yeah, his hair looks like a fucking cannoli. It's
horrible. Oh, my God. Oh, or, like, donuts. Like, they're just... Like, I know what Araki was going for, like, the victory rolls.
Really? You know?
Well...
You do?
I'm guessing.
Because it looked like he was making it a cannoli, Beth.
I want to say they were meant to be victory rolls.
I don't know what that means, but I'm sure whatever it is, it doesn't look like that. You know what? Googling it right now. I want to see just what the fuck. Because it's like, it's made worse by the fact that like the shading is so dramatic. Like, it's not even just like, oh yeah, he has like weird little like ring shapes on the front of his hair. They look like tubes because the inside of them is completely black most of the time. Like, it goes all the way through to his brain.
He's just got, like, voids.
I looked up victory rolls. No. Not even. No.
No.
No. Don't even.
Well.
These were cut-and-paste donuts slapped on the front of his head. I will admit, the braid with the loopy thing at the end is kind of a cool look. I'm into that.
It is a cool look.
But it's just like, by the end, it almost looked normal to me. But, like,
he's got, like, this, like, pseudo-mullet thing going on, too. Where it's all, like, choppy, but, like, long in the back.
A little bit.
It's a look, though. Okay?
Mista's outfit was completely normal to me by the end.
That's true.
And so was everyone else but Fugo's. But... Giorno's hair, I'm sorry. I don't hate it as much as Fugo's suit, but it...
Whatever, I made it look good.
Yeah. That you make everything look good.
Aww.
Okay. Do we have anything else to say about Giorno's
hair? It's just fucking weird.
Okay.
It's fucking weird, and it would look so much better, I think, down.
Yeah, probably. Okay. So moving on to the next thing somehow didn't fucking mention. I don't think we talked about Giorno's theme song at all.
Holy shit, why didn't we?
We talked about JoJo memes and that didn't even come up.
Oh my god, yeah, no, that was a big meme. It was like the TikTok song.
Yeah, like I heard Giorno's theme before I even knew it was from JoJo, and I was like, oh man, this is awesome.
It's fucking slaps. Yeah.
Just, oh god, it's so good.
It's really good. fucking iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic is the word.
Yeah. Well, we had that one incident of...
oh, my God.
This fall, we were relaxing on our little deck, and I heard someone playing it on, like, I don't know if it was clarinet or flute or what, but I heard a woodwind rendition of Giorno's theme somewhere in our neighborhood. And we immediately went on a walk to try and pinpoint the source.
But, we're like, it must be the work of an enemy stand.
No, I think, what was it? No, it was an enemy band.
An enemy band!
It was,
this must be the work of an enemy band. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was, it was a good day.
It was a really good day.
But yeah, so someone around us is a fucking weeb, but I don't know where the fuck it is, because there's a lot of houses around here.
Oh, anyway. God, I wonder if they saw my pumpkin.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
D.O. pumpkins.
I did a D.O. pumpkin.
That was great. Enough about our personal stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have anything else to say about Giorno's theme besides the fact that it's fucking awesome?
It's amazing. It's so good. And I love that it is the beat down song.
Yeah.
Like when that plays, you know, shit is just going to go down. It's so good.
Yeah. I wanted to give a minor shout out to Diavolo's theme because it's also really good. It's not as catchy. It's very good at setting the mood for like making him feel really intimidating and stuff whenever he's up to his shit. I don't know. It's just a lot of good music this season.
Lots of really good music.
Except for the endings.
Oh.
We already went over that.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about that again.
Anything else about the music, though?
No, you're good.
Okay, so I think you wanted to touch on this next point, the third bullet down.
Okay. So I don't think we talked about how literally everyone in part five is a bad guy. Yeah. Like, there are no good guys in part five. Even our heroes are not good guys. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking Jonathan is rolling in his motherfucking grave. He's just kind of like, oh, yes, all of my descendants are going to be, like, fine, upstanding gentlemen. You have, like, friends with the Nazi who cheats on his wife. You have, like, the mean punk who calls his mom a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, like, the dude, like, the Heart of Gold, love Josuke, but he, like, beats people up for, like, you know, insulting his hair. And then you have a mafia boss at age 15.
Yeah, that's pretty,
That's pretty fucked up. And then Jolene in prison at 19.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't know anything about that, though.
Yeah. Yep.
Spoiler,
sorry. It's just, like, poor Jonathan.
Yeah. What I like about this is, though, like, a lot of anime, especially, like, this kind of, like, action battle anime, basically stars mostly sociopaths.
Oh my god, right? Yeah!
Like, the amount of times that, like, the solution to everything is violence and just beating the shit out of everyone and maybe killing people, like, how many people did they fucking murder without even thinking about it in part three?
Yeah!
Like, part four, that wasn't as much of a thing.
So many people.
The tone was different, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's just the sort of thing where, like... You know, some shows will stop and examine that. You know, you have your anime that's a little more, like, thoughtful. But, like, just a lot of action ones like this just aren't.
No.
I like the idea of them almost kind of, like, dealing with that here by making it, like, no, actually, this time everyone in the crew is a fucking psycho. Like,
yeah.
They actually do kill for fun.
Because just, like, all... we see them just, like, torturing people. Like, when Bucciarati questions Giorno, like, he's like, okay, well, this is a torture, you know, session now. I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, when they do the torture dance, it's just, like, they're all so fucked up.
They're so fucked up.
They're just having a good time torturing a guy. Isn't this great? And it's just... It's funny because they're really not that different than the other JoJo protagonists. It's just, like, the weirdness is written into them directly,
yes,
instead of it being a byproduct of, like, sort of that, like, video game character syndrome where, like, you mow down waves of enemies and, like, man, isn't that kind of fucked up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, when we're introduced to Giorno, we are, like, introduced to this, like, this bad kid, this bad boy, and he never really pretends to be anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he didn't really, you know, he has to, like, work on himself, like figuring out how to express himself and how to kind of navigate the tensions in his like nature, and you know, the whole thing with, I think you had mentioned his inner monologue being a lot more panicked than his outer. But like,
his inner monologue is a lot more true to his actual state.
Yeah, we've talked about that
before. Yeah.
But it's just like, even with all that, even with him like, oh yeah, he has some growing to do, he never is like, man, I should be better, like a better person. It's never that.
No.
It's just like, I need to be better at mob stuff.
Oh God, it's so good. And I think part of why it is so damn enjoyable is because we get to just go along with it, and we don't have to think about the morality quite as much.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like,
we get to just let go and just have fun with it.
It's a fun mob adventure.
It is.
Like, we're not supposed to, you know, you can identify with these characters, obviously, but you're not supposed to, like, really, really identify with them. And that makes it more fun to, like, just, just let go, like you said. It's just...
God, and it's fun to, like, take a look at these characters and just break them down.
Okay, you say that, I think you mean psychologically, but the look on your face says you want to hurt them.
Okay, well,
and I know,
don't kink shame me.
Yeah, okay. Hey, it's me, Tom, again. So we fucked up, and we thought this was going to be a three-parter, but it turns out that our second recording went on also twice as long as we wanted it to, and... we have completely lost control of our lives at this point, I guess. So join us next week for the thrilling conclusion to this, again. Sorry if you believed our lie at the beginning that this was going to be the last part, but I have altered fate to make it so that there's another episode. So unless you have a Requiem stand, I guess you can just deal with that. That wasn't very funny. I'm sorry. Anyway... enjoy the rest of this outro, even though we're probably about to make some false claims. Bye! That's definitely going to do it. We got to wrap up. Any shout-outs this week, Beth? Besides your podcast that I just gave a shout-out to?
On the 27th, I'm going to be on another episode of Third Paradigm. It's a podcast about social issues and stuff, and I will actually be one of the hosts this time, talking about media and social issues in kids' cartoons, so tune into that one.
Oh, hey, that's basically this whole podcast.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, not that JoJo's a kids' show, but...
well, no, but...
but yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, they decided to bring me on for that episode, which I thought was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, fam, thanks for listening. Thanks to Snesse for letting us use the track Unity from the EP Digression. You can find that track and more at snesse.bandcamp.com. If you have any questions or comments for us, you can email us at deeplorepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @deep_lore. I'm on Twitter @pizzadramon. Beth?
And I am on Twitter @QueenBethyB.
So next episode... we will finally be getting back to Avatar, starting our jump into season 3.
Yep.
Neither of us expected our digression to last more than a month.
Yeah.
This was just going to be... listen,
we had fun, didn't we?
We did have fun.
We did have fun. We needed a break.
This was just going to be like, oh yeah, you know, like, haha, one or two episodes in between. But no, yeah, that's...
yeah, no.
It happened to coincide with the holidays. And,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, next, look forward to that next time. Avatar. It'll be cool.
It'd be good stuff.
Yeah.
Neat.
So, until next time, guys, shout into the void.
We're gonna, I think, our next season, we're gonna have a few more guests now that we've actually kind of figured some shit out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have a couple really cool ones lined up.
Oh, cool. Great. John Avatar himself will be joining
Shut
us.
the fuck up.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not
You
sorry.
suck.
Shit. What are we doing?
What do you
Ending
mean?
the podcast.
Yes.
Until next week, guys. I love you.
I love you guys too. Shit, I wanted to sign off with something JoJo related.
Arrivederci.
Oh my god, that's good. Arrivederci.
Do you want to do another take on that? Because you definitely said arrivederci. Stop slapping that. That picks up on the recording, you animal. God.
Fucking cry.
I feel like crying. Cry for both of us.
Okay, let's try. Okay. Anyway, until next time, arrivederci. What?
Was thinking of saying something, but I don't have anything. Hold on.
Okay.
What's another JoJo?
Oh, pasta la vista. Because it's Italian.
Or are you glad I didn't say Muda?
Get the no. It's funny as shit that we have to
Good
keep doing.
night.
Good night.
So, okay.
Fuck. I forgot all of our talking points. This is gonna be
That's
great.
why I have them written down, dummy.
Oh, thank God.
This is gonna be tough.
Is it?
Well, I want to try and get this. Part three is already 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, unless you want to do part three, part two,
Yeah, because we can't do four.
we need to keep this around a similar length. So
Let's try.
the total is only going to be freaking an hour and a half.
This is gonna be a challenge.
Yeah, this is going to suck. Okay. Okay, that's gonna be the sound. Should I do a Goku? Doo, doo, doo,
You're bad at it.
doo. I'm trying not to be loud. Doo, 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 doo. Yeah, that's gonna be the transition to
To such a good start.
All right, so. Let me find our
Oh,
subject
God.
list. Fuck.